Today is the first Sunday of a new year. What lies ahead of us, full of opportunities. How do you plan to live this year? I don't think anybody would want this life to be meaningless, to be insignificant, to achieve nothing. I don't think anybody wants his life, when it ends, will be meaningless to other people. Or when I die, I hope nobody will miss me. Nobody will come to my funeral. Nobody wants to do that. Rather, most of us like our life to be like a stone dropped into a pond, you know, and then it has all this ripple effect. We want our life to have some influence, positive impacts to other people. Jesus wants our life to have meaning and significance. That's why in John 10, verse 10, it says, I come so that they may have life, life with a capital L, and have it to the full. But how can we have this life to the full? How can we have this abundant life? The scripture gives us one key scripture, spiritual principle. In order to have a full life, abundant life, is to follow Jesus, like what Jesus called to all of us. Come, follow me. In today's text, we heard about the first group of people Jesus called to follow him. For followers of Jesus, we call them a special name called disciples. Disciples, essentially, are followers of Jesus. In verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is better known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. We saw the first two disciples Jesus called were fishermen. Who are the fishermen? Fishermen are ordinary folks. Just like shepherds, just like farmers, fishermen are ordinary people. So I think the first point that we take notice is to be a disciple of Jesus, or even ordinary people can be made great disciples. In order to be great disciples, you don't need to be great in intellects, philosophers, priests, rabbis, kings, you and I, students, accountants, housewives, unemployed, every one of us can be great disciples. When Jesus called these two fishermen, he called them, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You notice that? He called to fishermen, you are fishermen. Come follow me, and I will make you fisher of men. Jesus says, I will take you, who you are today, and all you have to do is to come to have a closer relationship with me. And I will teach you how to play a new key, how to live a better way in life. And then you become fisher of men. And then your life will have impact. You have long-lasting impact. You will not just be catching fish. You will be fishes of men, you will have long-lasting impact in your life. So in other words, what Jesus is offering, that he will use who you are today, what you have. And when you come to him, follow him, he will transform your life for great significance and impact. Rick Warren once shared a message he shared with a group of NBA professional basketball team. And he used the message that God called Moses. When God called Moses, he asked Moses, you know, Moses, what's that in your hand? You know, at that time, Moses was a shepherd. And what would shepherd have in his hand? A staff. And then God asked Moses, what's that in your hand? What do you have in your hand? And Moses says, a staff. And then God used what Moses have, the staff, to do amazing things. Throw it on the ground, and then it becomes a snake. And then later on, he used the staff to divide the Red Sea and used the staff to hit the rock so the water gushed out. So and then Rick Warren asked this group of NBA basketball players, what's in your hand? Well, every one of them have in their hand a basketball. They are good at basketball. So Rick Warren encouraged them, use what you have. Use your basketball to glorify God. I think it's just the same. God can use what we have, who we are, to serve his purpose as long as we surrender our life to him. When you come to Jesus, follow Jesus, God can take who you are today, what you have offered, to achieve a full life with great lasting impact. Verse 20. At once they left their net and followed him. And then verse 21 talked to Jesus, saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father, Zebedee, preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and the father and followed him. Somehow you may get the impressions that this first group of disciples of Jesus was very impulsive. When Jesus called, and then right away they dropped everything and followed him. They must be very impulsive, very highly emotional. But I don't think so. No, these disciples have known Jesus for quite a while. And I have support for that. Because in John 1, chapter 1, they talk about Peter, Andrew, they have known Jesus for a while. They have been introduced to Jesus. They have been of service of Jesus. In the Gospel of Luke, it's actually talk about Peter respond to Jesus' call to follow him is after a miraculous catch of fish. So I don't think these disciples follow Jesus just based on sudden emotion. They were have been of service of Jesus. Actually, in verse 23 to 25, it talks about Jesus went through the whole region of Galilee, teaching, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing the sick, driving out demons, and comforting people who have great pain. So these releasing the people who are demon-possessed. So I think this group of first disciples of Jesus, fishermen, they have been watching Jesus all along. He watched what Jesus can do with a life that is surrendered to him in his hand. And they saw Jesus transform their life. So when Jesus issued the call, come, follow me, they want to have that life. They want their life to be transformed. So I don't think it is an impulsive decision at all. Actually, throughout the Bible, when Jesus called people to follow him, Jesus asked people to sit down first to count the cost. Count the cost before following Jesus. Don't just follow him based on a sudden burst of emotion. Count the cost. How many of you have done skydiving? Ooh, David Cameron has died. Okay. Well, my son Gabriel also did skydiving. But even though you are not have not skydived before, when was the decision made for skydiving made? Was it on the ground or in a plane? It's obvious, you know, the decision to go skydiving must be on the ground. It's not just, somehow when you are in the airplane and suddenly you say, you want to jump off the plane, right? So it is just the same. You calculate what you want to risk your life for. Is it worth it? Some of the people think that it's worth it, so they do it. But it is a calculated decision. For following Jesus is the same way. Once you make the decision to follow him, Jesus will progressively infuse your life with his character. He will transform you more and more like him. And this process will not be short. It will not be quick. It will be a process. Once you surrender your life with Jesus, you come follow him. Following Jesus is a lifelong process. For Peter, we can see it from the example of Jesus' first group of disciples. Peter was not a great fan of pain and suffering, right? When Jesus asked his disciple, who do you think I am? You know, Peter is the first one to answer, you are the Messiah, you know, Son of God. And then when Jesus says, yes, but the Messiahs have to suffer, be rejected by people, and the Messiahs have to die. Peter is the first one to rebuke Jesus. No, Messiah, don't do that. And then he got a really harsh rebuke from Jesus. He says, get away from me, you are Satan. You know, your thoughts come from Satan. So Peter is not a person who likes pain and suffering. Yet, later on in 1 and 2 Peter, he is the one, the apostle, who counseled Christians to endure and welcome suffering. 1 Peter 2, verse 20 says, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. You see, Peter's life is transformed. He have a much deeper meaning and what life means. Another disciple, John. What do we know about John? John is very hot-tempered. He got a nickname called Son of Thunder. You know, it's like he's very hot-tempered. Once when he was evangelizing, preaching the gospel to a group of half-Jews, Samaritans, and these Samaritans rejected the gospel. And John is the one that, hey, Lord Jesus, you know, should we call down fire to destroy this group of people? You know, this is who John is. If you reject my message, I'm going to call upon, he wants to call upon heaven, fire from heaven to destroy them. But eventually, the Apostle John becomes the apostle of love. He's the apostle who's well known, who wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, who most famous, the characteristic of that is love. If you follow Jesus, Jesus is going to transform your life from a hothead into an apostle of love. So the same Jesus who called Peter, Andrew, James, and John is also calling you today. Some of you have heard of Jesus for a long time. I know many of you grew up listening to Bible stories. Today, first Sunday of 2018, Jesus says, come, follow me. What would be your response? The first group of disciples, after observing Jesus, decided to respond to Jesus when Jesus issued the call, come, follow me. They dropped everything. They left everything. They changed from observer to disciples, followers of Jesus. Like a game of sports. The difference between a spectators and players are different, right? Spectators and players are both in the same game. But there's a huge difference between the two. Same game. One is the spectator. The other one is actually playing it. Who would you rather be? A spectator or a player? In a journey to a foreign country, there's a big difference between travelers and tourists. They were both in the same country, in the same new country. Tourists go through a new country but insulate themselves so that when they leave and go back to the home country, nothing is changed for a tourist. They just have some, you know, nice pictures, but nothing is changed. But for travelers, a traveler immerses himself, herself into the culture, into the custom, into the traditions of their country, so that when the travelers return home, his life, her life is changed. Some part of the life is influenced by the country. For Christian faith, there is only one way to experience the Christian faith. In accordance to the Bible, is to come and follow Jesus. Throughout the gospel, Jesus did not say, study me, learn stories, talk about me. Jesus only condition of our relationship with him is to come, follow me. That's the only way. How does it work? How does it look? To heed to Jesus' calling. When Jesus is calling you today, come follow me. How does it look if it says, I want to follow Jesus? Well, as a beginner, I think if you are not the one who is baptized, I think Jesus, to follow, come and follow Jesus, commit to Jesus, is to get baptized. Getting baptism shows a commitment to Jesus. And the second is, I think it means that you should have a change of attitude in the priority of life. When Jesus says, come, follow me, and I will make you a fishers of men, that means to Jesus, gaining people is much more than accumulating wealth or achieving great job status. Jesus, in God's eyes, only the souls of people are the most precious. When people come, God only, most precious is people. Jesus says, if you follow me, you will be fishers of men. You would care for the people that I care for. And God cares for people's life, people's soul. Jesus did not care about how big is your church building or how large is your church budget. People, Jesus always cares for the soul of people. You will be fisher of men. So maybe coming follow Jesus means that our priority in life should be changed. Maybe you never care before about your neighbor, the people next sitting at your next cubicle in the office, or your neighbors. Maybe the type of food, the smell, the curry smell, irritate you. But change the attitude, because God cares for these people. Maybe how it looks like following Jesus is maybe as simple as church attendance. You know, are you still every Sunday or Saturday night still debating whether you should go to church on Sunday? Followers of Jesus, it means that, you know, unless I'm sick in the hospital, I will show up at church on Sunday. I know a lot of you, I don't see you on Sunday, it will either be you are out overseas in another country or another city, or God forbid you have an accident or in the hospital, you know. When I grew up, you know, there was the Sundays that I missed, again, count, you know, with the fingers of my hand. There was one Sunday is because of the family emergencies, so I have to miss it. Maybe one Sunday I was sick in a hospital, so sick that I have to be sent to the hospital. Church attendance, maybe something that you need to work on. And how about study of the Word? In order to follow Jesus, right now, you know, you are not expecting Jesus physically showing himself and for you, but Jesus already showed you his way, his will through the Bible. We can follow Jesus by studying his word, his teaching. So would you study? Make a resolution to study the word of God every day. So as we begin this year, especially the theme of making disciples, let us begin this journey by following Jesus. Make a decision. Not be an observer, not be a spectator, but be a follower. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you called the first group of disciples, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, to follow you. And they drop everything and commit their life to follow you. And you transform their life. You help them really know how to live and leave a lasting legacy, model for Christians generations after generations. Lord, as we begin this new year, help us to have your vision of life. Our desire is to follow you, and you will satisfy our longings for great impacts and significance in our life, an abundance life that you freely offer to all of us. So help us to make the commitment, not because of some emotional impact, impulsive impact, but really reflect and count the cost, and willingly, wholeheartedly decide to follow you, starting from the beginning of this year. Thank you, Lord. May your Holy Spirit touch us and lift us to a higher ground. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.